Welcome to the Gregory Digout Podcast.
I want you to look at Psalm 8, verse 5, and I want to read this from the Living Bible. And when God gave us life, in the Living Bible says it this way, when God gave us life, he also gave us a crown of glory and of honor. And Psalm 8, verse 5 says that. If you guys want to throw that up there at the Living Bible, if you have that translation, Psalm 8, verse 5. And I'll read it to you as well. But I love this verse. He said, yet you made them only a little lower than God and crowned them with glory and honor. And crowned them with glory and honor. So David is saying, God, you made man a little lower than God. The word, some translations may say angels. You made man a little lower than angels, but it's not an accurate translation because in the Hebrew language, the word is Elohim. You made them a little lower than Elohim. Well, Elohim is not a name for angels, it's a name for God. It's his name. So God did make man a little lower than him, but not lower than the angels. You know, we have authority over angels. God made us higher than angels. Angels might be right now, you think about angels and they seem to have power. They seem to, you know, when you see them in the Bible, they show up and they have swords and they have, you know, fire and they do all sorts of things that seem supernatural in the Bible, in the examples that we see. But the Bible says that we activate angels with our words. We activate angels because angels are given to minister on behalf of those who have inherited eternal life. Hebrews tells us that. And Psalm 103, verse 20 says, his angels hearken to the voice of his word. So when you speak God's word, angels hearken to carry out the word. But the point here is that we're made a little lower than God in rank. It's God, then man. Keep that verse up. It's God, then it's man, then it's angels. And then it's, you know, the rest of creation, animals and everything. But we're a little lower than God. Well, we're raised up with him and we're made to be joint heirs with Jesus. But the point is he crowned us with glory and honor. He crowned us. You've been crowned with glory. You've been crowned with honor. And this crown represents your authority. This crown represents your position in Christ. This crown represents God's blessing and God's favor on your life. And you know, we've been meditating on this verse in Revelation chapter 3, verse 11. Now let's look there, Revelation chapter 3, verse 11. And he says that I'm coming soon, Jesus said. Hold on to what you have, that no one take away your crown. Now, God's not going to take away your crown because he's the one that gave it. But people take our crowns and we take our crowns and we allow our crowns to be taken when we don't hold on to what we have and when we don't hold on to what God has given us. And I've mentioned something a few weeks ago that I want to really get your ears perked up for, and I want you to really get your heart open to, and that is this, that if God made us more than conquerors, if Jesus says he made us more than conquerors in Romans chapter 8, verse 37, that we've been made more than conquerors through his love, right? Amen. If we're more than conquerors, then why are we being conquered? If we're more than conquerors, why does sickness seem to conquer us? If we're more than conquerors, why does fear seem to conquer us? If we're more than conquerors, why does depression seem to conquer us sometimes? If we're more than conquerors, why does debt seem to conquer us? If we're more than conquerors, why does low opinions of ourselves seem to conquer us? Why does Satan seem to conquer many Christians? Why do so many people crumble and stumble and fall and get conquered when he made us more than conquerors? Well, the answer is simply in this, is that the reason why even though we are more than conquerors, we sometimes are getting conquered is because of a lack of knowledge. Now, I've mentioned to you that it's a lack of knowledge of three things. It's a lack of knowledge of our identity, who we are in Christ. It's a lack of knowledge of the power that we have, which I want to get into in a few moments here. And it's a lack of knowledge of how to use the tools that God has given us. Now, you see, if you have a box of tools, but you don't know how to use them, you could have a hammer and a screwdriver, and you could have all the ratchets in the world. You'd have the most beautiful tool set. But if you don't know how to use the tools, then they're of no use to you. You could have a hammer, you could have a saw. If you don't know how to use it, it's not of any use to you. Now, you've been given a lot of tools by God, and you've been given authority by God, but if you don't know how to use it, then it's of no good to you. It's of no use to you. What good is your authority if you don't know how to deal with demons, if you don't know how to speak to the mountain and command it to be moved, if you don't know how to prophesy to the dry bones, if you don't know how to use the tools that have been given to you, if you don't know how to lay hands on the sick, if you don't know how to pray with authority, you have been given these tools, but if you don't know how to use them, then they really are of no use to you until you learn how to use them. And so it's the lack of knowledge of knowing how to use these tools that Satan is robbing us of our crown. Now, he can't literally take our crown in the sense that he can't own our crown. He can't take it and wear it, but he can deceive us into not having the knowledge. He can keep us ignorant of the crown that has been given to us. And as a result, that it keeps us limited, and it keeps us conquered, and it keeps us defeated. But I'm here to tell you, let no one take your crown. Let no one take your crown, and let nothing take your crown. So we need to get the knowledge of our identity, which we spend a lot of time in this church talking about who we are in Christ. We need to gain the knowledge of the power that we have, which is sometimes overlooked, and we're going to spend some time on that. And we need to gain the knowledge of how to use the tools that we have. So let me go through a few of the things when we talk about having knowledge of the power that we have. You know, the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, let's look at that verse, as a matter of fact, just so you, I want you to see scriptures. I want us to study the Bible, right? Let's look in the Bible. If you have your Bible, let's look in there. If you don't have one with you, bring it with you and look on the screen. Both, you can see it in your translation, you can see it in this translation. But he says here in 2 Timothy 1, 7, for God has not given us the spirit of fear. Somebody needs to say amen to that, but he has not given us the spirit of fear. So wherever that fear came from, give it back, because God didn't give it to you. But what has he given us? Power and of love. He's given us a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. Now, we talk a lot about love here because God has given that to us. And we talk a lot about a sound mind because God has given that to us, and we renew our minds. And we do talk a lot about power, but let's specifically drill down for a moment on the power that we have. Because when you lack the knowledge of this power, you'll remain conquered. Even though you're more than a conqueror, you'll remain conquered. And we need to learn to conquer our emotions. We need to learn to conquer our flesh. We need to learn to conquer our financial world, our financial lives. We need to conquer our health. We need to conquer our bodies. You know, Paul said, I buffet my body. I know we used to misread that and think it said, I buffet my body. And we'd go to the, but when he says, I buffet my body, he means I bring my body into subjection to the power of my spirit, that my spirit rules my body, my mind rules my body, my spirit rules my flesh, my spirit rules my emotions, my spirit rules my view of myself, my spirit rules my words, my spirit rules what I do with my money. You see, when you get a hold of the power that you have, then you start conquering the way you've been created as more than a conqueror. So what power do we have? Well, let's go through a little list, and then we'll keep going. And I'll get into the meat of today's teaching. But we have the power, number one, we have the power of the tongue. Okay, and this is in no particular order, but we have the power of the tongue. Proverbs 18, verse 21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Now, there are some things we're supposed to speak to destroy with our words. We're supposed to speak to the mountain to be removed. That's death. Jesus cursed the fig tree. May no one eat fruit from you again. We need to speak to cancer. We need to speak to fear. We need to see we're speaking death to those things. There's death and life in the power of the tongue. So we bring life. We speak words of life to our body. We speak words of life to our relationships. We speak words of life over our children, over our marriages, over our finances, over our soul, over our emotions. Like this is the power you have. But if you remain silent, then you're going to remain conquered in areas of your life that you don't have to be conquered in. And then you're letting your crown be taken away. He said, notice what he said back in Revelation 3:11. He said, let no one take. You let no one take it. You let nothing take it. In other words, nothing can take it unless you let it. No one can take it unless you let it. I'm going to come back to that in a moment. But you have the power of life and death. You have the power of the tongue. Secondly, you have the power to get up when you've fallen. Proverbs 24, verse 16 says, a righteous man falls 7 times, but he gets up. He rises again. You fall 7, you get up 8, right? Or however that works. Fall 7, get up 7. I don't know. Get up one more than how many times you fall, right? Just one extra. And he said, a righteous man may fall 7 times, but he rises again. In other words, this is our right to rise again. This is our right to get up when we have fallen. We don't have to stay down. You have the power to get up. Now, you can stay down and act like you can't get up, but you do have the power to get up. You can live in shame. I can't get up now because I've already blew it too bad. I already messed up. I already, you know, went down this path. I might as well just continue to sin or continue with this habit or continue with this addiction. I might as well just, you know, continue in it because I'm already down. I might as well stay down. No, don't stay down. Get up. You have the power to get up. Use your power. And the thing that keeps you down is the belief that you don't have the power to get up. But you got to change your mistaken belief and realize you do have the power to get up. Are you with me still? So, what are we talking about here? Let no one take your crown. What keeps us defeated in life is lacking the knowledge of the power that we have, is what our focus is today. You have the power to pray and get results. James 5:16 says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails or accomplishes much. Notice the end of this verse. The effective fervent prayer of what kind of man? A righteous man. And male and female is embedded in man. He's talking about both. He said the effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much or accomplishes much. When you know that you're the righteousness of God, you tap into the power to pray. Now think about that. If you really knew and really believe that you had the power to pray and it would avail much, what would you be afraid of? What would you be anxious about? In fact, prayer is the remedy for anxiety. He said, with anything, when we be anxious for nothing, and then he tells us how. But in everything, with prayer and petition, make your requests known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Prayer is the power. Prayer is the anointing that delivers you from anxiety. It delivers you from fear. So the power to pray is an incredible gift that God's given us. But when was the last time that you prayed with authority? Like, because he goes on to talk about Elijah praying. How did Elijah pray? He said, it's not going to rain until I say so. And then 3.5 years later, he prays again. And he says, he says in verse 18 of the same scripture, James 5:18, it says, and Elijah prayed again, and the heaven gave rain. Notice, Elijah prayed and heaven gave. Elijah prayed and heaven gave. Elijah prayed, heaven gave, earth produced. You have the same spirit to be able to pray as Elijah did. In fact, a better spirit, because your spirit's born again. Elijah was one of the prophets, but he wasn't the greatest of all the prophets, because Jesus said John the Baptist was the greatest of all the prophets. Follow the logic here. Elijah was powerful. Did he pray and heaven gave rain? He was pretty powerful. He prayed and it didn't rain for 3.5 years, then he prayed again and it rained. Heaven gave rain when he prayed. That's powerful. And he was a prophet. But he wasn't even the greatest prophet, because Jesus said the greatest prophet was John the Baptist. He said John the Baptist was the greatest prophet in Matthew chapter 11, but then he goes on to say, but the least in the kingdom of God is greater than John the Baptist. So if Elijah could pray with this kind of power, and he wasn't even the greatest prophet, John the Baptist was, and the least in the kingdom of God is greater than John the Baptist, that means we have as much authority to pray as Elijah did, and then some. So what's stopping you? Use this power. What else? What other power do we have? We have the power to succeed. In Psalm chapter 1, verse 1, he says, blessed is the man, Psalm chapter 1, verse 1, blessed is the man that does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the word of God. He calls it the law of the Lord here, but he's not talking about the Ten Commandments. He's talking about the principles of God's word. His delight is in the word of the Lord, and in his word, he meditates day and night. And look at what happens. Because he meditates on God's word day and night, verse 3 says, for he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in his season. His leaf does not wither, and in whatever he does shall prosper. Whatever he does shall prosper. See, God doesn't care what you do as far as your profession, your occupation. He wants you to go and do as much as you dream you can do, but and you can prosper when the word of God is your meditation and it's how you think. When your thinking lines up with God's word, you have the power to succeed. You have the power to succeed and to prosper. And these words are interchangeable. Success and prospering are the same words in the Bible. And then I want to bring you to the one, the power that you have, that is the title of today's teaching, and it's the power of permission. The power of permission. Now, this is a power that most believers are not acquainted with. We understand we have power of our tongue, although we don't all use it. We understand we have the power to pray, although we're not using it. We understand we have the power to prosper, but often we're not using that power. And we all understand we have the power to get up when we've fallen, and we probably use that one more than any of them. Right? Who's with me on that? I mean, I've used that one a lot. Okay, so we don't have anybody honest here except the pastor that's fallen many times and gotten up. All right. Yeah, you too, right? Come on. A couple more honest people. But this next one is really what I want to get to tonight, and it's called the power of permission. The power of permission. And what do I mean by that, and how does this tie into this whole theme of not letting anyone take your crown? Because in order for somebody to take your crown, in order for somebody to prevent you from giving up your authority, giving up your power, in order for them to be able to do that, takes your permission. It takes your permission. You have the power of permission to allow somebody to rob you of your power, rob you of your sense of worth, rob you of your sense of purpose. And I really want you guys to hear this. is that you got to tap in to your power. It's your power of permission. Say, it's my power of permission. Come on, say that like you mean it. It's my power of permission. Oh, this is the point that the devil doesn't want you to hear. Everybody listen to me. Everybody listen. Everybody watching. You got to get a hold of this. Everybody here. Everybody listen to me. You have the power of permission. And I'm here to tell you, Satan is robbing you of it because you're giving people permission to take your crown. And today is the day that that ends. The thievery, the stealing, the looting of your power ends tonight. Satan only can take what you let him. People can only take what you let them. Listen to Eleanor Roosevelt said something very powerful years ago. She said, "No one can make you feel inferior without your permission. No one can make you feel inferior without your permission. I don't care who you are, you have the power of permission, and we've been using it the wrong way by giving people permission to make us feel inferior, giving people permission to make us feel bad about our mistakes, giving people permission to make us feel guilty, giving people permission to manipulate us, giving people permission to take advantage of us, giving people permission and giving ourselves permission to lay our crown down. And he said, let no one take your crown. It is yours, and it is up to you to determine whether you're going to give somebody permission to take it from you. So somebody hurts you, it doesn't mean that you have to stay hurt. You stay hurt only because of one reason, because you're giving permission for that person to have power over your emotions. Nobody has it unless you give it to them. Nobody, nobody, no demon, no human, no angel, no Christian, no man, woman, or child has power over your emotions unless you give them that permission. The power of permission. Listen to me. This is why so many people fail. You know, the word faith comes from one of the original words for faith, and to believe is actually the word to permit. Faith and believing is what gives your hopes permission to come to pass. You have a hope. Anybody here have a hope? If you're hoping for anything, what gives the hope permission to come to pass is faith. Look, let me show you what I mean. Hebrews 11. Let's look at Hebrews 11, verse 1. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Notice what he says, it's the substance of things hoped for. So whatever you have hope for, what gives hope permission to have substance, to come into existence, to be seen, is your faith. Faith is the substance. So believing God's word, faith is really simple. It's believing what God says. It's believing God's word. It's taking God at his word and saying, I believe it. So when you believe God's word, you're giving your hope, you're giving it substance. Hope without faith is just a dream. But when you have faith, when you believe what God said, it puts substance and flesh on the hope. And it gives it permission to exist in this earth. When it's just hope, it stays in your heart. But when you have faith, it shows up and now it can be seen. Yep. You're giving, your faith gives permission for the things God has willed in heaven to come to pass in this earth. Let me show you what I mean by that in a greater way. Look over with me to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. So Jesus is talking to the disciples. Then Peter speaks up, and Jesus says in verse 18, verse 17, he says, "You're Peter, upon this rock I'll build my church. The gates of hell will not prevail against the church." And then he says in verse 18, notice what he says here. He says, "And also I give you," verse 19, "and I will give you the keys of the kingdom. I give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." This is the power of permission. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. In other words, heaven will fully back you up. Whatever you bind and whatever you loose. Now, I'll read it to you in Matthew. He says it again to emphasize the importance of this truth. Two chapters later in Matthew chapter 18, verse 18. And he says again, he says, "Whatever I say to you again," because I want you to get this. I don't want you to let this slip by. He says, "I say to you again, if two of you agree," that's verse 19, go to verse 18. Verse 18 says, "Assuredly I say, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Now let me read that to you from the New Living Translation. The New Living Translation, he says, "I tell you the truth, whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven, and whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven." Now that sounds pretty powerful to me. You know how powerful it is? It's called the power of permission. Heaven will permit what you permit. Now you might, this is dangerous stuff for the devil, for you to hear this. So he doesn't want you to hear it. And if you hear it, he doesn't want you to believe it. And if you believe it, he doesn't want you to activate it. He doesn't want you to operate in this, because this is what keeps us defeated and keeps us conquered, is not understanding our power. And the power of permission is one of the greatest powers that we have. Whatever we permit on earth, he said, "I'm giving you the keys. I'm giving you the keys to drive heaven into this earth. I'm giving you the keys to the car to bring heaven's realities into earth's situations. I'm giving you the keys to drive heaven's goods into earth's bads. I'm giving you the keys to drive heaven's provision into earth's lack. I'm giving you the keys to drive and to carry the load of heaven's power into earth's powerlessness, heaven's answers into earth's questions, heaven's healing into earth's sickness, heaven's ability into earth's disability, heaven's gifts into earth's lack and deficiency. This is the power that you've been given. And whatever, he says, look, whatever you permit on earth is going to be permitted in heaven. In other words, heaven is not letting it happen because we're not letting it happen. And whatever you forbid, this is a part of that power of permission. Whatever you forbid, heaven forbids. We've all used that word, "Oh, heaven forbid." No, you forbid and then heaven will forbid. You loose and then heaven will loose. We've been giving our power away to people, and we're taking our power back today. What power? The power of permission. The power of permission. Whatsoever you permit, it's time to take your power of permission back. Don't permit anyone to take. Don't permit anyone to take your crown. You have the power of permission. You can let somebody take it, or you can say, you know what? I forbid anyone taking my authority. I forbid letting anybody control how I feel. I forbid letting anybody determine what kind of day I'm going to have. I forbid letting whatever has been done to me, I forbid it from controlling my attitude. I forbid it from shaping how I feel about myself. I forbid anybody's opinion of me to shape my opinion of me. I permit what I say about myself to come to pass, and heaven backs me up. You have all of heaven's support through the power of permission. That's pretty powerful stuff. You've got this at your disposal. Listen to me. We need to take our power back. What power? The power of permission. And we've been permitting several things to rob us of our crowns, rob us of our joy. One of the crowns is a crown of joy, crown of rejoicing. That sounds pretty happy to me. If you got a crown of rejoicing, that means the thing on your head, the thing at the top of your mind all the time is something's making you happy. Something's making you rejoice all the time. It's a crown of rejoicing. You can rejoice. You can rejoice at all times if you refuse to permit the following things to take your crown. There's a lot of things we shouldn't let take our crown, but the ones I want to talk to you about in the next few moments that we have remaining are these. Your mistakes. You must refuse to permit your mistakes from robbing you of your authority. Your mistakes do not disqualify you from being a prophet of your own life. Your mistakes don't disqualify you from using your tongue. Your mistakes don't disqualify you from getting back up. Your mistakes don't disqualify you. Do not give your mistakes permission to take your crown. Do not give your mistakes permission. Mistakes, man, you should be ashamed. The thoughts will come to you. Look at where you're at in your life. You should be ashamed of yourself. Look at the mistakes you've made. Look at how many times you failed. You have to say to that thought, no, you're not taking my crown. No, you don't have the right to take my crown. My mistakes don't define me. My problems don't define me. My mistakes don't define me. And I'm not giving my mistakes permission. Look, everybody makes mistakes, but not everybody gives their mistakes permission to alter their future and to control their feelings and to take their crown. No, I'm not letting my mistake take my joy. I'm not letting my mistake take my crown. I'm not letting my mistake take my destiny. I'm not letting that's up to me to determine that. It's not up to my mistake. It's up to me. Okay? So the first thing is we have to not permit our mistakes to take our crown. Hey, I've made mistakes, but that doesn't change who I am. You've made mistakes, it doesn't change who you are. So don't give it permission to shape you. Don't give it permission to shape. Don't beat yourself up. Don't wallow in your guilt. Don't wallow in your mistake. Get up, shake it off. Wipe the dust off your knees and get up and move forward. You have the power to do that. Let no mistake take your crown. Let no mistake take your crown. Secondly, we're not going to let and permit discouragement to take our crown. Because a lot of people, when they get discouraged, they quit. When they get discouraged, they give up. When they get discouraged, they prayed and nothing's happened. They've been working on, you know, believing for something and it hasn't come to pass. They keep, you know, they don't get ahead financially and they get discouraged. Their healing's not showing up and they get discouraged. And I'm telling you, You cannot give discouragement permission to take your crown. No matter how long it takes, no matter how delayed the promise is, believe me, there may be delays, there will be delays, but there will not be a denial from God. He will not deny you of what he's promised. Life will delay it. Our mistakes sometimes will delay it. Taking wrong turns will sometimes delay it, but you cannot permit discouragement to take your crown. No matter how low you feel, no matter how discouraged you get, no matter how down in the dumps, sometimes life gets you, no matter how you're going through the valley of the shadow of death. Let me tell you something about the valley of the shadow of death, because all of us know what it's like to be in the valley. And I'm going to tell you right now, what does he say about the valley of the shadow of death? He said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. The reason why people lose and fail and get conquered in life is because they stop walking when they hit the valley. They stop moving forward when they hit the valley. He said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. There's two reasons he fears no evil. One is God is with him, but the other reason is he keeps walking. You know, if you're ever at night and it's dark and you're outside and if you hear a noise, don't stop, keep walking. In fact, you might want to run. You know, as soon as you get away from that situation, as soon as you keep walking away from that situation, it gets better. But if you stop, you're like, oh, what was that? Who was that? What was that? You're dead. Keep walking. Because it's a valley of the shadow of death. What do you do in that valley? You keep walking through it. You don't camp there. You don't feel sorry for yourself there. You don't have a pity party there. You don't set up tent there. You don't buy an apartment there or a house there. You don't get a hotel room there. You don't spend the night there. You don't have a meal there. You keep walking. You keep walking through that valley of the shadow of death, and don't give discouragement permission to take your crown. Tell you what David did when he got discouraged. In 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 6, look at what he did. In 1 Samuel chapter 30, all of his men were going to stone him. He was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people were grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. But David encouraged himself. This translation says strengthened. I think if you guys put the New American Standard translation, it says David. But David encouraged himself in the Lord, whatever translation it's in. It's the same word, strengthened. He encouraged himself in the Lord, his God. You listen to me. You cannot give yourself permission to stay discouraged and let discouragement rob you. And you can't give people permission to where you need them to encourage you. You have to stop giving people permission to be the encouragers of your life. Now, people can encourage you if they want, but you cannot give them permission to be your encourager. You must encourage yourself in the Lord. When you give people the power, I need people's encouragement. I just need people to encourage me. When you give people that kind of power, encouragement from other people is icing on a cake, but it's not the cake. You encouraging yourself is the cake. And you have to encourage yourself, because people will not always be there for you. Sometimes they will, and in a healthy church, we should always be there for each other. And in a good family, we should always be there for each other. But sometimes we're so good as a family, we're so good as a church, that we are weakening people by making them dependent on our encouragement. And when you need to get to a place in your life where even my encouragement isn't enough for you, you have to encourage yourself in the Lord. I can encourage you, but I've seen people, I've given them scripture after scripture, and then they're still like, I'm so distressed still. And I say, well, let's pray together. I'm still, it's not working. And I say, let me encourage you, you're going to make it. Well, okay, thank you, but I don't know, it's not working. You know why it's not working? Because you have to encourage yourself in the Lord. That's when it starts working. That's when my encouragement is going to be an addition and a compliment. It can't be the content of your strength, but it can be a compliment to your strength. You're encouraging yourself in the Lord. How do you do that? You pray in the Holy Spirit. You speak God's word. You say good things about yourself. You treat yourself well. You have yourself a Snickers if you need to. If you're feeling like you're somebody else, you pull that Snickers out. You do whatever you have to treat yourself well. Give yourself permission to treat yourself well. And we don't have time to get into this anymore, but I want to give you the third thing. So we could drill down on encouragement, but just go and encourage yourself in the Lord. But the third thing is, we are not giving people permission. We're not giving our mistakes permission. We're not giving our discouragement permission, and we're not giving people permission. Let me show you the scripture in John 5:41 in the Living Bible. John 5:41 in the Living Bible says something very powerful here. Look at what he says. Jesus says, "Your approval means nothing to me. Your approval means nothing to me." Whoa, Sookie, if you get a hold of this verse right here, you take this home with you. Your approval means nothing to me. You know what? As long as people's approval means something to you, and don't get me wrong, good parenting, we need to show approval to our kids. But at some point, our approval should mean nothing to them anymore. It did what it was supposed to do when they were young. But at some point, every person has to approve of themselves. The Bible says, study to show yourself approved. You have to show yourself your, keep that verse up. Keep that verse up. Your approval, I don't need your approval means nothing to me. It's a powerful way to live when you say, you know what? I know who I am. What you say I am doesn't mean anything to me. Your approving of me means nothing to me. I say, I know who I am. Paul said, I am who I am by the grace of God. And I'm not under anybody's scrutiny, and I'm not under anybody's judgment, and nobody in this life is going to get permission from me to make me feel approved. If you want to approve of me, fine. But it doesn't mean anything to me. I approve of you. You're awesome, but you got to believe you're awesome. You're a child of God, but you got to believe you're a child of God. You're an independent, free, upright standing with God, son or daughter, where no weapon formed against you can prosper, where you're complete in Christ, where you're happy in the Lord, where you're blessed coming in and blessed coming out. I can say that over you, but until you say that over you, it won't mean anything to you. You got to get to this place where you take your power of approval back. Will you approve of me? Take that back from, no more will you approve of me? And even if you don't use those words, we're constantly wanting people to affirm us and approve of us and love us and like us. And that doesn't mean we should be mean, ornery sons of guns, but what it means is, come on now, but what it means is it means that we do not give people permission to give us approval. We give ourselves permission to approve of ourselves in Christ because of his love, and no one is going to take that approval to be able to give it to me. No one's taken it from me, and no one's going to have the power to give it to me. I got my approval from God, and I agree with him, and nobody else has to agree. If two shall agree, it shall be done, and me and Jesus agree that I'm approved. And you and Jesus, you need to get an agreement with Jesus because he approves of you. Now you need to get an agreement with him, and then there's two that are in agreement. Don't you think Jesus counts when the Bible says if two shall agree, it shall be done? Don't you think he counts? Agree with him. Oh, I wish I could get somebody to agree with me. Jesus, like, I'm over here. Happy to agree with you. I'm available. Listen, you gotta say, you know what? Nothing you do or don't do is going to make me happy or make me sad. I'm happy in the Lord. I encourage myself. I get up when I fall. I'm not giving my mistakes permission to take my crown. I'm not giving my past. I'm not giving my mistakes. I'm not giving my shortcomings. I'm not giving them the power to take my crown. And neither are you. We're not letting it happen. I'm not giving discouragement power to take my crown. When I'm discouraged, I'm going to encourage myself in the Lord. I'm not going to stay discouraged and need somebody to feel sorry for me. And I'm not giving them permission to approve of me. I'm doing that. You need to do that for yourself. It doesn't mean you approve your sin. I'm not approving my sin. I'm not approving my mistakes. I'm not approving my errors. I'm approving of my value. I'm approving of my contentment. I'm approving of my ability to remain happy and joyful and powerful and walking in freedom. Freedom from people. Free from people. Not free of people. Like we don't isolate ourselves from people, but we're free from people approving of us. Valuing us. Value yourself. Here's my price tag. Whoa, that's a lot. That's expensive. Yeah, I'm expensive. Value yourself. You get it?
Yeah.
Let's stand. Come on. Let no one. That's up to you. That's up to me. See how powerful you are? Let no one take your crown. Say that out loud. Say, in the name of Jesus, I take back my power, the power of permission. Whatever I permit on earth is permitted in heaven. Whatever I forbid on earth is forbidden in heaven. I take that power back. I refuse to give permission to my mistakes. They will not take my crown. Discouragement will not take my crown. People and their approval will not take my crown. I take the power back of my approval. I approve of myself. I'm a son or daughter of God. I am royalty in Christ. And that crown of righteousness and that crown of authority is not going to be taken from me because I'm not letting it. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, if you believe that, somebody give the Lord a hand of thanks.